Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah, chapter 1. And verse 18. Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And our subject this morning is the reasonable gospel. Well, we come this morning to these words at the beginning of this a tremendous book, the book of the prophet Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet, of course, which means that he lived before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, around 700 years before the time of Christ. And yet we have often in our morning gospel service to present to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have often turned to this Old Testament prophet, because he seems to have been given such an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what he would do for his people. Isaiah, for example, he knew that Christ would be the Son of God. He knew that Christ was divine, God himself, God in the flesh, God with us, as Isaiah puts it, Emmanuel, that will be his name. That's how Isaiah prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his identity will be, God with us. And the prophet knew that. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when he comes, would be divine. He knew, of course, how he would come into the world. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The prophet Isaiah, he knew this. And well, of course, that's what happened. The Virgin Mary did conceive and bear a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. We know that very well. So Isaiah knew about the Lord's birth, and he knew about the Lord's death in great detail, even, we could say. Isaiah 53, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be numbered with the transgressors. And that's exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ numbered with the criminals at the end of his life, crucified in the midst of criminals, numbered with the transgressors, the Holy Son of God. But Isaiah also knew, of course, that he would die for us. There was a great meaning, there was a great signification behind this death. There was a great salvation in this death. Isaiah knew the true meaning, the full meaning of why the Lord Jesus Christ would die. And so this is why we so often turn to the prophet Isaiah for a gospel message, because, well, he had such a tremendous grasp of the New Testament gospel. In fact, he's often called the foremost evangelical prophet, the prophet Isaiah. And well, even in this verse, this is so full of the gospel. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. This is a wonderful presentation of the gospel. This is what the good news is. What is the good news of the gospel? It's this verse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So all I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to look at this verse bit by bit, almost word by word, and draw out the gospel applications for us this morning. And well, the first word that we see in this verse is come. Come now and let us reason together. Come. These are the words of the Lord. The prophet has said this. It's not his words. It's not the prophet's own words or opinion. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And this is what the gospel is. It's a great invitation. A great invitation to come. God is giving us an invitation. Come to know him, to know his salvation, to know his blessing upon you. Everywhere in the scriptures, the Lord is saying, come. The prophet Isaiah elsewhere, he will also repeat these things. Come, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. That's in Isaiah 55, verse 3. And of course, you have many examples in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everywhere in the scriptures, there are that gospel invitations. And well, we've just sung a hymn, of course, a hymn that began, how did it begin? Come all souls by sin afflicted. The Christian message is an invitation. It is an invitation given to us by God. Come and know me. Come and know my love. Come and know my presence in your life. Come and learn of heavenly things. In this world, if you remain just in this world, you will never learn of heavenly things. But God says to us, come, I will teach you of heavenly things. There are heavenly things to learn of. There are spiritual things. Come and I will give you spiritual life. You don't know how to pray. You don't really know who God is. Come, I will show these things to you. Come and know how to pray. Come and see answers to prayer. Come and know that you have everlasting life, life beyond this world. This life, this world is 70 odd years and that's it. Come and I will show you greater things. It's a gospel invitation and it's a glorious invitation. We could spend the whole time just focusing on that word and the invitation, but it's a free invitation. That's one thing you could say. You don't normally, if you're invited to something, you don't have to pay for an invitation. And it's the same here. God freely invites us. It's a free invitation. It's a gracious invitation. And it's extended to everybody. It's always very sad when you realize that you're not invited to something. If there's a party, if there's an occasion, and you realize everybody else is invited and you're not invited, that's so very sad. But with the gospel, it's not like that. Everybody is invited. God invites everyone from all backgrounds, from all ethnicities, from all classes, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, everybody is invited. Come, says God, to every single one of us in this room, everyone listening online. But we mustn't neglect that word that comes just after it. Come now. Come now. Well, many people hear this invitation, the gospel invitation, and they delay. They don't want to come now. They say to themselves, well, I will become a Christian much later. I'll live my life how I want to live it now, maybe for 30, 40 years. And then when I get older, maybe when I'm 70 or 80, then I'll become a Christian. That's what so many people think. Well, that's very foolish. If there's anybody here thinking that is so very foolish. You know, the longer you leave it, the harder it gets to respond. Now, it's not impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible to come to the Lord in later life. But what tends to happen is this. The longer you leave it, the further away from God you become. The longer you leave it, the further you drift away from the Lord. You're led astray. You're led astray by the things of this world. And you don't really know how to respond. Perhaps there was once a time you heard the gospel and it moved you, it affected you. But now you don't really care. You can hear it. You can hear a preacher preaching. You can hear about the gospel. You don't really care. Your heart is hardened. The longer you leave it, the harder it is, dear friends. And the harder your hearts become. And well, it is so foolish to say, when I get older, I will come to Christ. How do you know? Do you know how long you'll live? So often people will say, I'll come later. But they die very early on. We don't know how long we have left. Will you get to 80? Will you get to 70? You don't know what the world is going to bring to you, even in the coming week. So people who say, I will come, well, very often they never come at all. Come now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's what the prophet Isaiah writes later on in this book. Call ye upon him while he is near. Come now, says the prophet Isaiah, says the Lord through the prophet. Come now and let us reason together. Well, that's the second part of this verse. Come now and let us reason together. Well, this is very interesting that the prophet talks about reason and about reasoning. Christians are people who employ the power of reason. Now, the world does not think this of us. The world thinks that we as Christians, we've lost our reason. We've lost our minds. We're unreasonable people. That's what the world thinks about us. You can't reason with us, that we've abandoned that power of reason. But actually, it's the other way round. The Christians are the reasonable ones. It's the world who have lost their power of reason. Everything that Christians believe, well, it stands to reason. Everything in the Bible is reasonable. And let me give you an example. For example, we believe in God as our creator. And well, when we say that, the world thinks, how unreasonable. These Christians are mad. But actually, it stands to reason. You look at the world around you. Just look. You look at all the order, the way everything is ordered, the rising of the sun, the setting of the same, the moon, the stars, the seasons, autumn, winter, spring, summer, the harvest time. Everything is following a script. Everything has been ordered. It stands to reason that this world has been created. And when you look at ourselves, our bodies, when you look at the animal kingdom, for example, and you look at the diversity, just the variety of all the things around us, the color of everything, the animals, how they can fly and swim and so on and climb. How can these things just have happened by chance or by accident? That's unreasonable to think that. If you think that everything in this world just happened by chance, that's not a reasonable thing to think. We look at these things and it's so obvious. It's so reasonable. These things have been created. So we don't believe in anything unreasonable. We know that there's a creator. And then we think of the things in the New Testament. Again, people say we're crazy to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really believe that he healed the sick? They ask us. Do you really believe that he raised the dead? That he walked on water? Yes. Is that reasonable? Yes, it is. If Christ is who he says he is, if he is truly the Son of God, then it is reasonable to believe that God can do those things. If he is God, and he is God, it's reasonable to believe that he can do things that man cannot do. It's perfectly reasonable. And in fact, well, that was the reason why we have those miracles. That's what the miracles pointed to. The purpose of the miracles, to teach the people that Christ was God. He wasn't just a man. He was different. That's what the miracles taught us. He was the Messiah, the one prophesied in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. So when we present Christ to you, you must know and understand that these things are perfectly reasonable. Perfectly reasonable. If you leave aside all your prejudice and all your bias and you actually start to think about the Christian message and the gospel, you will find it's all perfectly reasonable. It all stands to reason. And the prophet knows this. There's nothing beyond reason here. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Well, here we are taught about sin. And again, well, I mention this because it follows on from that second part. When we think of sin, well, is it not reasonable to look at the world with all its crime and all its injustice and all its violence and conclude that this world is sinful? Of course it is. That's a reasonable conclusion. What is unreasonable is if you look at the world with all its suffering and misery and say, oh, we're all wonderful people. We're all good at heart. That's completely unreasonable to think that. When we look at the world around us, the only reasonable conclusion you can draw is that we are sinful. Men and women, the human race, when we look honestly, truthfully at the world, we know that the Bible is right, the Bible is true. There is a human condition, and that human condition is that we are sinful and that we are born that way. This thing is very true, and we must understand this. But then we read, though your sins be as scarlet. What does that mean? Though your sins be as scarlet. Well, scarlet, the color scarlet is red. And we read that even later on in the verse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What this is saying is that our sins are, well, they're very eye-catching. They're very obvious. Scarlet, red, is one of the most eye-catching colors in the world. It's a color that catches the eye. That's why you have traffic lights in red, because it catches the eye. You can't miss it. Red, scarlet. And what this verse is saying is that your sin is so obvious. It's so clear. You know, we are very good at hiding our sins, making sure that nobody else sees them. We can hide so much about ourselves. We can hide our pride. We can hide our anger. We can hide our lust. We look at one another and we think to ourselves, what a nice person this man is. What a nice person this woman is. Because we can hide our sins. But to the sight of God, our sins are like scarlet. He sees them very clearly. They're so clear. They're so obvious. Because, of course, God can see everything about us. God can see our thoughts. God can see our mind, our heart, the things that we do in private, the things that we say in private, the things that we watch in private. Nobody else can see that, but God can see that. And that's why your sins are as scarlet. They're so clear. You cannot hide them from God. That's really the sense. You can't hide your sins from God. Your sins are as scarlet. But also there's something else that is presented to us in that word. Though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet, as I've mentioned, is red. Crimson is red. And red is the color of blood. It's the color of blood. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were taught that in order for the sins of the people to be covered, in order for the sins of the people to be atoned for, to be forgiven, there must be the shedding of blood. That's what the Israelites were taught. In order for sins to be covered, a sacrifice must be offered up. Blood must be shed. Why? Because sin is so serious. It's so serious. Sin is so serious that the most serious thing in the world has to happen for sin to be covered. That's how serious sin is. Blood must be shed to atone for sin. And we read this in the Old Testament and in the New, Leviticus chapter 17. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The blood. And in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. That's the teaching of Scripture. But dear friends, the animal sacrifices were not enough. The blood of animals, they could never take away sin. They were given up repeatedly. Every year they would sacrifice the animals. Why would they have to do it every year? If these sacrifices can actually remove sin, why do we repeatedly have to offer them up? These animal sacrifices, they don't truly take away sin. It's only Christ. That's what the sacrifices were pointing to. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. Only his blood can take away our sin. That's what John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It would be his blood, offered up once for all, not many times, because only his blood can wash and cleanse us. This is the gospel message, dear friends. This is what we believe in. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's what a Christian believes. A Christian knows that he's a sinner. I am a sinner. I can't hide it from God. How can I remove my sin? I must trust in Christ, in nothing else. I must trust in the shedding of his blood, because his blood is the only thing that can wash and cleanse me from my sin. It's only through him. And this is the gospel message. These wonderful things. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So, dear friends, well, we almost come to the very end, but we have to ask this and give this exhortation. Is this your faith? Let us reason together. This gospel is so reasonable. Have you not heard how reasonable it is? It's a free invitation from God. Come, come freely. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to atone for your sin yourself. God has provided a Savior. I have sent my only begotten Son, says God, to suffer and to die for you. All you have to do is have faith in him. Doesn't that sound reasonable? You don't have to go on any pilgrimage. You don't have to spend your whole life doing good works, charitable works. Just trust in Christ. His blood alone can wash and make you clean. Isn't that so reasonable? Dear friends, this is the way of salvation. That which is unreasonable is if you reject it. Do you think you're a reasonable person? I'm sure all of you do. I'm a reasonable person. I can be reasoned with. So why would you reject this? Why would you reject God sending his only begotten Son to die for you? To shed his blood for you so that you can be forgiven and have everlasting life and peace and joy. If you reject that, it's totally unreasonable. You're not a reasonable person. But God says to us, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We can be washed and cleansed. So this is the message. Reason. Think upon these things. Turn to the Lord now and know the forgiveness of your sin. Wash and cleanse your soul in the blood of Christ and you will be freely accepted, freely blessed, and you will dwell with God forever. These words are glorious.